Good morning, y'all. Come in and have a seat. I know you're snacking on the beaver nuggets and all that good stuff, but we're going to fill up and talk about how to prioritize marriage and all that good stuff. I know people are still trickling in, so we'll kind of slowly get going on our intro, but it's good to see all your faces. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Has anybody had a decent time at the marriage conference?
Yeah.
So somebody's had a really good time so far at the marriage conference too. Okay, there we go. We have a few hands. We have a few hands. I want to welcome you. My name is Marvin. This is my bride, Amber Walker. We'll say that a few times as people continue to come in. But the first thing that I want to say as I set this water bottle down is we are not experts at all. We have been married 8 years, 5 months, and 19 days. And I know that to the detail because my marriage is good and it's a battle. And I didn't have parents that were married, so I never got to see marriage modeled. My in-laws have been married a very long time, but being married has been an honor. It's been hard, it's been good, but I enjoy every day that I get to see this beautiful young lady. So, again, we're not experts, but you may be coming into this room as you're still trickling in, and maybe you've just been missing each other just throughout the week. Week to week, you're missing each other, or you've just completely been neglecting your marriage. But this is why we're here. All of us need this talk. All of us need a marriage conference. All of us need a slowed down time to learn how to meet each other's needs as life's demands continue to pile up. So, again, a slow intro. One thing I want to tell you off top about Amber Walker and Marvin Walker are as previous Division I athletes. I was playing ball out in Utah, and my wife was an all-conference softball player in Texas, but it was out in El Paso. She's a beast. You'll get to hear from her in just a second. We know that one thing, whether it was football, whether it was softball, on those fields of play, it took commitment. And as we got to see commitment played out, whether it was in football or softball, we know that that also trickles into marriage. And as we talk about commitment in those fields of play, we've also, in football and softball, she was a captain, she got to see and hear a lot of excuses. A lot of them. And as we talk about excuses, we've got to see and hear a lot of them in our own marriage.
Yeah.
We've come up with them. So that is what we're going to talk about today. Excuses, life's demands, how to prioritize. And continuing on the intro, Marvin and Amber Walker, welcome in, find a seat. We have the privilege of being a part of Watermark South Dallas. That is where I pass. Yeah, praise God. We have some South Dallas family in here too. I see y'all. But 14 miles south of the Dallas campus here, we've had the privilege of engaging a community in South Dallas right next to the fair for the last 16 months. So for 16 months, we're a baby church. Just getting rolling, engaging the community, learning how to love them, being a good neighbor. And we gather at 3 p.m. every single Sunday, watching the Lord be faithful. 70% of our kids, I was just telling somebody that 70% of the kids are coming in without parents. So they're running into the church from the community. And it's a little bit different. But the Lord has been so, so faithful in South Dallas and with inviting us to be a part of the Watermark family.
Yeah, so again, my name is Amber, and before we kick off, we want to give you guys a little direction of what we're going to be talking about. So a quick little roadmap. We are going to share a little bit more of our story and our crew because there's other people that are attached to us. And then we're going to talk about some typical excuses that we hear in marriage. We're going to talk about why marriage is priority. We're going to talk about ideas and ways to do it consistently, and then we'll have a fun handout at the end. But a little bit about our story. Marvin told you that we've been married for 8 years, however many minutes and days. That is his gifting alone. I am not in all that. But I will
say. She loves me though. She does. She
yes,
does.
I do. And I will say that I have known this guy since he was 14 years old.
And I'm 19 now.
He was a little boy then, and he's a little boy now. No, he's a grown man now. No, but this is my best friend, and that's how you should look at your spouse. Like, I feel the most comfortable with him. I feel the safest. I have the best time with him. I can be my true, authentic self with him.
Mm, this is a marriage conference. Excuse us. I'm kidding. Go ahead, sweetie.
No, but really, your spouse ought to be your best friend. But going into our marriage of being married 8 years, I can tell you the first 3 years of our marriage, it was really difficult. We're originally from California. Literally, the day after we got married, we moved to Dallas, Texas, because it was a big faith move. We said, Lord, this is where you want us. We're going. We went, and the first 3 years were really hard. We had no family out here. Each one of those years, we had a miscarriage. And it brought a lot of grief. It brought maybe even some depression, just hard conversations that we had to have. But through that, through those 3 years, we were able to date a lot. We were able to get dressed up and go out. We were able to be in our pajamas all day and have good couch conversations and take a nap. Because when life's not demanding, you can take naps during the day. But we were able to do those things. But after those 3 years, the following 4 years, we were either pregnant or birthing a child and said yes to full-time ministry and was in full-time seminary school, interim position at a church. I mean, there was everything in that, but we said yes to the Lord. With that, we saw life is speeding up really, really quickly. And how are we going to prioritize one another? Oh, there go our little kids, our crew. Quick pause, because Mama has to talk about the kids real fast.
You're like, I don't want to hear about kids. That's why I'm here.
But we have Mia Grace up here, who is our oldest. She's 4. And we have Nehemiah, who we call New. Can let Dad.
Nehemiah Ellis Walker, N-E-W. So, you know, just for a little bit of swag. So even when he's old, he'll be. And when he gives his life to Jesus, all things will be made. There you go. Yeah.
This is a pastor for you, for sure. And then we have Ivy Rain. And just, okay, pastor's wife coming out. And just like our God reigns, Ivy reigns in our house, being the final baby.
She's a boss.
Okay.
She's a boss.
Okay. But going back, when life started to speed up really quickly and we saw, okay, how are we going to manage this? It was October of last year that we had to have a sit-down conversation, and it was long overdue. But we looked at each other and we said, we've got to make a decision. We're either going to make our marriage priority, or we're going to continue to make time for one another whenever time allows, and it was not very often. We decided to go with A. We decided to make marriage a priority. But why is marriage priority?
So before we get into all of that, I'm going to pray over this time. I'm going to pray over you all. And we're going to get into all the things that Amber talked about on the roadmap. You got vision. Let's pray. Let's go. Lord Jesus, thank you for this slowed down time that all of us get as couples to hear from you, to hear from each other. Use this time for your glory as we get in your word, as we talk about how to prioritize, as life seems to always be so demanding. Mm-hmm. Help us to slow down. We want our marriages to glorify you. Help us to do that in this time, in this space, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to start off telling you a story about an elderly couple that went to eat. As this couple went to eat, the husband got to the register and he ordered a hamburger. He ordered a set of fries and he ordered a drink. And as he goes to the table to sit down, as he's there with his wife, he cuts that burger in half. He places half of it in front of his wife. And that one order of fries, he begins to set piles of them, 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, takes a sip of the drink and places it right in between them. As he begins to take a bite or two from his burger, there's people around him that are whispering and saying, why did that couple just order one set of everything? It seems off. And as he's eating his fries, a young man comes up to him and says, sir, I noticed that you and your wife got one order of everything. Do you mind if I just purchase you another order of fries, a burger, and a drink? And the gentleman declined. And he said, hey, understand, we're fine. My wife and I we're used to sharing everything. There was people that were closer to the table that realized the wife hadn't taken a bite this entire time. She sat there with her husband watching him eat, and she would occasionally just take a drink and set it down in between them. It was again that the young man came over to them again and looked at the wife and said, "Hey, please just let me buy you another drink, another burger, and another order of fries." And the wife said, "You heard what my husband said, truly. No, thank you. We're used to sharing." As the older gentleman was just finishing up his meal, napkin, neatly wiping his mouth, the young man came over and just pleaded with the older lady. And he said, "Please help me understand, what is it that you're waiting for?" She said, "What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for the teeth." We share everything, including teeth.
Now that story is funny and kind of gross. I love this guy, but I don't know if we're gonna be sharing teeth.
I'll share anything with you. I will.
He would say that. But truly, the most beautiful thing about that story was this elderly couple knew how important it was to share things, even teeth, with one another, and to just do life with each other. Because you're in here for a reason. Whether it's the job that's working you 24/7, or it's the kids that have you taxiing them around to whatever extracurricular activity, the task and the to-dos that are on the list, those things will eventually end. You will eventually retire. The kids will eventually drive themselves places, and the task will eventually be completed as well. But your marriage is here to stay. Your marriage is still going to be there after all of those things. So I urge you to fight for your marriage, to fight so you can look back 10 to 20 years from now and say, "Yeah, those were the hard years, but we did them together. We dated while doing them." Because it would be a sad day that when all of those things are completed, when you're looking at your spouse and there's no more things to do, and you're saying, "Okay, so who is this person that I married again?" Investing in your marriage now is critical so you can have a marriage that flourishes and doesn't diminish over time. So why is marriage truly a priority?
Just met a couple that said that they were married 5 months. Whether you've been married 5 days, 5 months, or 55 years. I mentioned we've been married 8 years, 5 months, and 19 days, and we're still learning how to prioritize marriage. But we believe that marriage truly ought to be a priority, really because God's word says so. And here we are in the chapel, and you didn't know that we're going to be doing a vow renewal. No, I'm kidding. Y'all are like, "What? We weren't ready for that." But when you did get married, when you had somebody officiating your wedding, there were verses that came up, like from Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6, that talk about the two shall become one flesh. Mm-hmm. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. You probably have read these things, heard these things, and understand that those things are true. But we'll also see when we're going to get in Ephesians 5, a marriage chapter, you've probably read those verses, but we're going to slow down and look at some of them where those two becoming one flesh come up again in Ephesians 5, but that all originated back in the beginning, in Genesis. And it's in marriage that we learn that marriage isn't just a human agreement, but it's a relationship in which God has now changed the status of a man and a woman being single. They were two, but you're married now. And you're one flesh. Marriage is about oneness, not separateness. And again, this is why we're here, because we do so many things separately, but we're called to be one flesh. Our primary human loyalty is to the person sitting next to you. Not the other couple, but the person that you're married to. Really, that's your primary human loyalty, but sometimes it could be a little bit too loyal to your boss. And if you are the boss, sometimes you're a little bit too loyal to your employees. And if it's not that, you may be a little bit too loyal to your kids or to your friends, or maybe you're still a little bit too loyal to mama and daddy, but you're one flesh with your husband. You're one flesh with your wife. It's about him. It's about her. This right here, marriage itself, is a divine priority. And it's hard. I get it. It is very hard to hear that our jobs and our kids are not priority. And I'm not saying to neglect them, but it'd be foolish to not prioritize your bride, to not prioritize your husband. Something I have been learning in this most recent season is I would call Amber, baby, you're my first priority. And I got it wrong. Why? Because Amber is the priority. Mm-hmm. She's not a priority or first priority. She is the priority. So the question that I want you to think about for just a minute is, how have you been prioritizing her, fellas? And ladies, how have you been prioritizing him? Think about that for just a moment. How has he been prioritized in the last week? Have you done that? The strategy, if you can pull it up on your phones, Ephesians 5 is right there. Or if you have a Bible, praise God. But the strategy on how to prioritize marriage is in Ephesians 5. And it starts in verse 21. And this here was for all believers, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So, and that's for all believers to live in mutual submission. But we see that word that comes up again in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And it applies in a unique way here to, from a wife to a husband. But see the words as to the Lord. It doesn't mean in the same way that she submits to Jesus. But rather, ladies, you're submitting to your husband as a service that you're really doing to the Lord. And I know that that's a hard word to hear, but as you think about submitting to the Lord, submitting to your husbands as to the Lord, you regard your husbands, you respect them, you deeply care for them, but submission can never be required of one human being to another. And this chapter, this New Testament was written in the Greek language and has a military origin of some sorts where you see a person under another authority, but this is not a forced submission. It's voluntary submission to the proper authority. So off the bat, when we read that, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, Paul is saying, ladies, in the role of a wife, you gotta know that it's good to place yourself underneath the proper headship. Like, it is a good thing when you have the proper spiritual leader. But you might read that and say, well, hold up, I got a question. What if my wife's a better leader? What if she's not only a better leader, but she's more spiritual? Or let me get even more real. What if she knows more Bible than me? Then what? And I'm like, yeah, good question. But get it out of here, because that's an excuse. That's an excuse. Because check it out. If a Toyota Prius is getting off of the highway, what I've learned coming from Southern Cali is that Texas has a road right next to the highway, and on that road is a sign that says, yield. Three of you know how to drive. But if a Toyota Prius is getting off the highway, and an 18-wheeler is on the street next to the highway that merges with the street when they come together, even though the 18-wheeler is bigger and can carry tons and is much longer, it has to yield. It has to yield because it doesn't have the right of way. And it has to listen to that sign to avoid a wreck. And God has placed husbands in that right of way position to lead, because the sign in his word says that it's gonna help our marriages avoid wrecks when he's in that position. And to bring more clarity, you got verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is to subject to Christ. This verse shows us how the church submits to its head, Jesus. And fellas, this is for us. Verse 25, a call to imitate the love of Christ. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. Notice here the author says zero about authority. And oftentimes that's what we're thinking about. How did he love the church? He loved the church to death. He loved the church to death. Love came in the shape of a cross. How have you been dying to yourselves as you've been leading your wives? What does that look like? Constantly hear it from friends. Man, happy wife, happy life. I'm like, no, No. We got to stop saying that. No more saying that, because Scripture makes it clear that marriage and the goal of it is not happiness, but it's holiness. Mm-hmm. And as you read the first part of that 22 is submit. But then on the male side, on the husband side, it's love. And there's a dance. It's submit, love, submit, love, submit, love. And this dance is designed to be harmonious as we operate in how the Creator intended for marriage to be. Submit, love. And when we understand this, when we understand this dance, when we prioritize this dance, it can help us knock off the excuses and get rid of the excuses. And it's only then that marriage can become uncommon. And it's God's word that helps us begin prioritizing our marriages in a kingdom-minded way.
You know, Marvin, I'm going to add a little bit to that submission part, because I know us women, when we hear that word submission, I don't know if it's premenopause or hormones, but I get a little hot when I hear that word. But something I just learned recently is that submission speaks. 1 Peter 3 is directed towards wives. It says, "A gentle and quiet spirit is precious to the Lord." But something else that is precious and honoring to the Lord is not allowing bitterness and resentment to come up within us. Submission speaks. Trying to suppress the things that we may be lacking in our marriage, that we are desiring, that's only going to build up bitterness and resentment within. So ladies, remember, submission speaks. And as Marvin was talking about some of the excuses that we hear, or that we've actually even had in our own marriage, let's talk about some of the typical excuses that some of you guys may have. We have I'm busy because of work. I'm tired. I don't feel good. I have work to do. The kids have blank. I already made plans to, can I just say, we were able to make this because we're like, what have we said? What have we said? Yeah, we've said all of these things.
And a lot of these come out before intimacy too.
If we're gonna go there, we're gonna go there. We'll circle back to that. But what I will say is, with all these excuses, sometimes we get in the mindset of, hey, teamwork makes the dream work. You do this and I'll do this. And hey, we're working together, right? But I think sometimes we forget to pass the ball back and forth to one another. Sometimes we forget to have that huddle up moment to make the intimacy better.
Come on,
if
somebody.
You went there.
Yeah.
We forget that, and we begin to live separate lives. In one way, or actually, you know, as believers, we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We have somebody that's coming after us, but a secret that I will let you know, if you don't already know, he really, really wants to destroy marriages. And part of the way he will do that is when you begin living those separate lives. That is one way the enemy will try to destroy you. Because when we look at our marriage, sometimes we think of it as a checklist of, okay, yes, you did that, and, oh, well, we went out for our anniversary. Oh, well, we did this. Don't look at it as a checklist. Don't look at it as a contract when it is a covenant that you have made with God.
Marriage is created by God. Even if you aren't in Christ, you're going to experience hardship in marriage. But if you are in Christ and live and choose to live a godly marriage to glorify Jesus Christ, you have a target on you. And I want you to realize that and understand that the battle is never between each other. We have an enemy, as Amber said, coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Amber brought up in our intro, we had a hard conversation in October. And this was a hard conversation in October. October of 2021, 13 months ago. I sat down across from my wife, and know this, October is also her birthday month. And I had been in the role of being a campus pastor at Watermark South Dallas for just a few months. It's a lot of excitement, everything's new. And we're sitting down and I'm like, baby, it's your birthday. We're gonna have a good time. And you know, I've been doing this in my role and we've seen what the Lord is doing. Like, I'm glad we're sitting down, no kids. And as I sat across from my wife, quickly, fellas, you know that moment when your wife gets emotional. It happened. And I'm like, wait, we're not supposed to be doing this right now. We're supposed to be celebrating. And she said, Marvin, I have to tell you something. And I said, go. She said, I want you to know I don't feel seen as a wife. I want you to know I've been watching the pace that you're going at. And I feel like you're about to run hot or burn out real soon. And in that moment, I said, well, I wanted to interrupt, and the Spirit had a hold of my mouth and my heart. And I had to let her just continue. And I had to sit there and receive that. Mm-hmm. As she called me out in areas of my husbandhood and showed me how I was missing the mark and showed me how I was missing her. And it was hard and it was heavy. But truthfully, in that time, we were way too busy with all that we had going on. We either could have made excuses, because that's what was coming out of my mouth, or we could have made a plan. Mm-hmm. And even while preparing for this conference, attacked, hard. Mm-hmm. We're prepping to get ready for this, and I'm coming home, and my wife's got the laptop open, and baby, let me show you the slides. This is what I'm thinking. Thanks for giving me the framework of all that we got going on. I'm like, hurry up. Tell me what you gotta tell me. Just talk, go. She's looking at me like, aren't you excited about doing this? I'm like, yeah, but go ahead. Tell me what you got to tell me. She runs through it and she looks at me, realizing I was checked out because of my day. She closes the laptop. She's like, look, I'm getting in the shower, dude. I'm tired of you. And I had to humble myself. Before she went in the bathroom, I said, stop just a second. I brought my day into the house. We just put the kids down. We need to run all that back. So what we did was in Ephesians 5, I said, sweetie, we're gonna get hand in hand just with God's word open. I'm gonna read verse 21, you're gonna read verse 22, I'm gonna read verse 23, you're gonna read verse 24, you're gonna read, and we went back and forth, prayed over each other, got back in a moment where we just started preparing and the Lord used it. But it's hard in that moment when you've bothered each other and there's friction. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. But we're here. We're here to learn how to say yes to each other. Mm-hmm. We're here to learn how to say yes to marriage, because it is more important than the next networking thing, the next happy hour, the next sports league, the next birthday, the next celebration, the putting in extra hours to get the bank account to be here, to get the bigger house, whatever it is. But my question is it worth gaining all of that to lose your spouse? Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? None of these things are bad if you're investing in them, but if you're doing it more than your holy matrimony, yeah, you're off. You're completely off and you're spiritually imbalanced, and investing in each other, it has to start today. Your marriage might be soaring, you might be at a great place, you might be on the brink of going separate ways. Investing must start now. And the investment in your marriage might be intangible, meaning you can't see the investment like you can when you put it in stocks and other things. Yeah. But let me tell you this, the fruit or the lack thereof in how you're investing will be clearly seen.
Let's come up for air a little bit, because that was a lot. Let's talk about some ideas and ways to do it consistently. Starting with a bi-weekly date and then maybe moving towards a weekly. When we had one child and we were just, life started to speed up just a little bit more, we were like, you know what? Let's go on a date once a month. And then we had another child and life sped up some more. We're like, let's do it bi-weekly. And now we are at the rhythm of like, life is way too busy. I need to be in front of you once a week. So whatever it is, the goal of this is to do it consistently and make the goal achievable. Don't start off with, hey, let's do it bi-weekly or let's do it weekly, when you should start with monthly. But another trick is, before you leave that date, we decided, hey, before we end this date, because this was a really good date, I need it to be in front of you, we need it to have some heart-to-heart conversations, but pencil in that next one or calendar in that next date, because I'm telling you, time will go by and you'll say, oh, well, that was like actually 3 months ago when we went out and had a date or just had some face-to-face conversations. So that's another way. Make it fun and play games. It doesn't have to be let's go have a meal together. That is the generic way to say let's go have a date, but make it fun. I remember one day we pulled up to a Walmart parking lot and I'm like, okay, we're going to get some groceries and some stuff. Let's get it. And Marvin pulled out this bingo card and it was like, okay, you run into Walmart, you count however many TV screens there
are. Has anybody heard of Walmart bingo? What? Oh my goodness. Y'all need to write this down. We pulled up into Walmart and it's like, hey, you got to get bingo. Five across, five diagonal. You got the free space. It's like, yeah, Amber said it. Go to the TV section, videotape yourself, counting the TVs. Go to the pajama section, get an elderly person's top and put it on and take a picture of yourself. Get the nastiest baby food and talk about it in the camera. It's just corny and meet me back at the entrance and we're going to see who wins.
And I won. Going back to the competitiveness, I did win in that one.
She did.
But and just make it easy. I'm a coffee drinker. He's a smoothie drinker. When it's hot, we go get smoothies. When it's cold now, we can go get coffee. And take turns. Take turns planning them. Have it be a surprise. It can be. Make it easy. I mean, you all got married for a reason. You love one another. You had fun with one another. Don't make it this elaborate thing. Have fun planning these things.
And as we get into some fun, we can't just talk about all of this and talk about what Paul said in Ephesians 5. We want to give you some application. So there are two challenges we're about to hit you with before we get into kind of a slow down moment to allow you to connect with each other. The first challenge that we have is actually a bedroom challenge. Who's ready for that? Okay, every man's hand just went up in the building.
Okay, I see some women.
Okay, there we go. So the first one is a bedroom challenge, and secondly, it's going to be a date night challenge, and it's going to be some details. What's the bedroom challenge, sweetie?
All right, so I want you guys, this one's going to be called the magic word. I want you to turn to your spouse,
yes.
And I want you to think of one word. It could be anything. It can be flower. It can be shoe. It could be spatula. Think of that one word with your spouse.
Spatula, you have whoop people with you?
We'll see. Think of that one word with your spouse. It's a
just
magic word.
Come up with a word, just a few seconds. Just pick a word.
Think of a word.
Pick a word. There we go.
Some of you guys are scared to pick a word.
Yes,
like,
they are.
Going in the bedroom? I don't know.
You will not be bringing this item into the room. Go ahead, sweetie.
All right, so I hope you guys got your word. So from now on, when either one of you say that word to one another, text that word, whatever it is, it means that day, that morning, that afternoon, not three times, okay? Just one time that day. Marvin's like, yes. It means that day you guys will be physically intimate with one another. And can I just say, us women in here, like you guys, maybe you have heard it. We are some slow cookers, okay? We are crock pots. So warm us up a little bit. Send us that text. Say it a couple hours before. Let's get our minds right because it's going to take place. Builds up the anticipation as well.
On that topic, I also got to think, there may be some couples in this room where it's just like, we're not even talking about no magic word right now. We're not there. And that's okay. We're going to have a moment where we can talk through some of the hard and allow you guys to connect with each other. But the date night challenge is called the memory lane challenge.
Yeah. So 5 months, we have a couple that have been married for 5 months. We're 8 years. Maybe there's 40, 50 years out there. I want you to think back to your very first date that you had with one another. What type of cuisine did you have? What time of day was it? Where was the location? If you have a picture, what were you wearing? And is it even still in style now? I don't know. The goal of this is to think back to that memorable time and recreate it. So maybe you can't go to that same restaurant, but you can have the same cuisine. Maybe you can't go to that same state, but they have that restaurant out here. Recreate it. Make it memorable. It's a chance to go back down. memory lane.
And all these are great ways to connect outside of this room, but we're still here and we still got a lot of good quality time. We still got about 30 minutes before lunch. So, I want to slow way down because I know life is demanding. And one of the reasons why we wanted to do this is not just to do it, but to have couples connect and have you all talk to each other. You're here because you obviously want to prioritize each other. The desire is there. So whether you are on your last straw or marriage is really good, this is the time right now to activate all the things we put into play. Now, this is going to be a little weird, what we're about to do. You're like, what are we about to do? Just wait a second. It's going to be weird, but it's going to be worth it. Because this is the time that you're going to connect now with the person next to you. What we're going to do is do some liturgy. You're like, what is liturgy? Liturgy is just a group worship practice. So we're going to be doing things together, but we are going to be focusing on one another. So we're going to pass this out right now, and we're going to do this together. So from the back to the front, you're about to get one per couple, one per married couple, and you're going to go through this exercise with us. So the front of it says marriage liturgy. You might have got it on the back, but the front at the top says marriage liturgy. And where you see husbands, we're going to say that together. Where you see wife, ladies, you're going to do that together. Where you see male leader, I'm going to speak that over your marriages. Where you see female leader, Amber is going to speak that over your marriages. Where you see one, and in parentheses it says hold hands, we're going to do just that. You're going to try to have that moment where you're glancing at your spouse, but I get it. We're reading something together. And we want these words to get into our hearts. We're going to have some pauses in the midst of this to allow you to talk and reflect. So as you get that, posture yourself, lean in just a little bit to him, to her. This is the start of prioritizing each other. There's some strong words. There's going to be some strong connections in here. We want you to be vulnerable. We want you to be open. We want you to begin to talk. So, we all set? If somebody doesn't have one, say, hold up. Okay, no hold ups. Does anybody need one? Oh, we got a waving hand. I want to make sure everybody's doing this. Unity. Marriage is called to be unified. So we're going to do this together. Here we go. Fellas, it's starting with us at husband. Here we go. At death, we will part.
Therefore, let us not take for granted the blessing of our life together.
I want us to sit in silence and keep in mind what you just said. Maybe you need to read back over it. Just a quick moment of silence about what was just spoken. Lord, may our hearts be drawn towards you, in whose three-person perfection of love burns the fire that would kindle our two-person imperfection into a oneness that is warmed and forged of your holy flames.
A oneness that is both an echo and a seed in a play upon a stage, portraying the promise of union with Christ that is to come.
Let's hold hands and do this together, y'all. We are unworthy players, O Lord, unworthy to portray your glory. We are weak, we are jealous, we are easily wounded, we are petty, we are embittered, we store up remembrances of wrongs, we are insecure, we hurt one another, we do not deal with our conflicts well, we fail to love as you have loved, forgive us even the failures of this day. Now this is the time for you to pause and really look to each other. Maybe it's this week that you need to ask for forgiveness about something. Maybe you need to make amends for something over the last month or the last year. But I want you to talk to, because this is how pursuing one another starts. This is how prioritizing one another starts. Think back. You know that moment. Talk to your spouse, ask for forgiveness, and let's begin to move forward. And I get that this is hard, but sit in this. I am not, here we go. I am not strong enough in my own strength to be a husband to you.
And I am not strong enough in my own strength to be a wife to you.
Let us turn to God together then, asking for the strength that we need. as one, all together. Lord, give us the strength that comes from the grace that flows from your heart alone, so that we might live and move and breathe in the air of that grace, receiving it in ourselves and then offering it daily to one another. Without grace, our marriage will wither as a vine unrooted, but sustained by your grace, it will ever flourish. Fellas, forgive us our failures and our sins against one another and against our marriage, O God, and restore now our hearts to you and to each other.
Repair the damages of our selfishness, our thoughtlessness, our inconsistencies. Draw us again together at the close of this day in love and forgiveness and fellowship and peace.
Lord, help each of these couples to pursue and love one another in a different way than they did when this day started, and more at the close of this day than they did at its dawning.
Empower each of these marriages to make the choice to treasure one another and not neglect one another at the end of this week more than at the beginning.
Husbands, this is us. May we hold one another as more precious, more respected, and more dear at the close of this month than we did at its beginning.
So help us to delight in our companionship and take heart in the sharing of our day to day and see a difference at the end of this year than we did at the beginning.
Last time all together, protect our marriage and give us eyes for one another. Teach us to be friends and lovers and companions. May our marriage exist not only for our benefit, but may the bond between us grow to be a shelter and a blessing for others as well. Now, this is the part where, fellas, I want you to put your arm over your wife and I want you to pray over her for just about 60 seconds. And ladies, after he's done, I want you to place your hand on his heart and I want you to pray a prayer over your husbands, and then we'll pick back up and we'll tell you what's gonna happen next. We've talked about a lot. We gotta prioritize our marriages. And we still have time. And this time is now for you. This time is for you to prioritize and have a conversation about what needs to happen. Because maybe you need to go to lunch later. Because you need to talk. And you need to put that plan together of what week to week is it gonna look like? How do we really stop missing each other? The plan can start now. You can have a conversation about what prioritizing your marriage truly looks like. And I know a lot of the rooms, breakouts may have a Q&A. If there's questions, then how about you come up and we talk about them individually, because I hope the desire is for y'all to connect and talk and ask each other questions and have conversation amongst yourselves, seeing where you're at. Maybe you need to ask that question to your husband, ladies, or speak into his life and say, this is how I'm viewing you as my husband. Submission speaks, Amber said. Fellas, maybe you need to just throw it out there. How have I been doing? I need your help in this area. And start questions. Put the plan together. And I know I mentioned earlier, there may be some that don't know Jesus and you've been married and you've been trying things out and you got invited to a marriage conference, but you're not walking with Christ. The creator of marriage is the Lord himself. Would love to talk about that to you as well. But again, this time is for you individually to not rush. The hope in all of this was for you to slow down. So maybe you need to skip the next session because you need to just go sit in some chairs out there and have a conversation. Maybe that's what you need to do. Whether you don't know Jesus, whether you do have legitimate questions that you want to talk about, we can talk up here and we can talk through that and pray over you. But this time is for you. It's not just a quick prayer, go through the liturgy, have some laughs, and then we go to the next thing. We've been doing that far too long and missing each other. Really wholeheartedly connect with each other, especially on a weekend where we have to fall back tomorrow and daylight savings time ends. Again, the hope is that the excuses, we can put those to rest. We can put them down and we can stop using them and they end. And we can move forward in truly prioritizing each other. So because you have still a couple of minutes, I want you guys to talk to each other about what you heard. Talk to each other about where your heart is. Talk to each other about where you believe your marriage is. And again, if there's other conversations we need to have about the Lord himself, or you're going through harder things, we can talk up here, but this time is for you. You can be dismissed now and you can go and sit. You can be dismissed and be first in line for lunch. I would hope that's what you wouldn't do. I would hope that you would use this time. And if there are specific questions that you do have or you're wrestling through things, we can talk to them. And there's a lot of resources that Watermark has that we can get you plugged in with, but this time is for you. So I'm gonna pull back and stop talking. We'll turn some music on, allow you to connect. You can connect right here. Don't worry about other couples next to you. We've been doing that too much too. Worried about what others think and what others are hearing. This time is for you husbands and wives to connect with each other. If you feel more comfortable, you can do it outside of this room, but maybe you need to sit in here because you've been in here. This time is for you. Y'all are dismissed. Continue to enjoy the conference.